Absolutely. And as usual, we are awaiting any kind of a home improvement question that may be on your mind. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Good morning to you, Andy.
Good morning, Denny. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for asking. You don't sound like, excuse me, you're in what we lovingly call CCO land.
No, I'm actually with Mr. Luke Panic today. We're on our way out west, almost to Denver. And we got on the road pretty early this morning. And our clock, we've been talking, like, hey, we got to do the radio show together. We're doing the super show today.
All right.
We've been talking about doing the show and what we're going to talk about. And then we realized the truck clock had changed from central time to mountain time, and we're a little tardy, so appreciate you guys calling us and reminding us it's radio time.
Yeah, it is. Well, you're just in time, so we appreciate that. The show must go on. All right, so you got you and Luke together. All that brain power, it will be mighty fine for this home improvement hour here on CC. What can we talk about since we've got you both together?
Well, you know, I had the opportunity this week, Denny, to go with the person that's leading the charge with the Lindis Maintenance Division, and it was an awesome day. I got to catch up with a lot of WCCO listeners and customers of Lindis Instruction and see some of the projects that we've done over the time. But what was crazy to me was every house that we visited, it seemed like everybody was some type of an engineer, and I don't know if it was just that day or what, but everybody was an engineer, and every one of the houses I looked at was like the best house in the neighborhood. Their yard was the best kept. They had the best landscaping, and in talking to these people, they really understood that in order to get the best out of their home improvement projects and the best out of their materials, that you have to maintain them. And we found a variety of things to recommend with these people and take a look at, but one just full of gratitude on the WCCO customers that are also Lindis Construction customers that I got to meet with Jake on Wednesday. And fortunate enough that one of the neighborhoods in Shoreview, Minnesota, we've done a bunch of projects there, but in that neighborhood, we had a lot of roofing, a lot of leaf guard. Luke, the one neighbor, he was a millboard deck and metal framing that you did there?
Yeah, big steel millboard deck.
And this customer was a deck we built with a rubber membrane underneath it, and he put a four-season porch on underneath it, and we did a bunch of leaf guard there. And someday we'll look at siding and windows with that customer too, but I think we recommended what he has to do to make sure his windows don't leak anymore. A lot of the windows were not installed properly to begin with when it was built in 1998. They needed to have drip cap done, but we created a 3D model in every one of these houses. We looked at a lot of things. We cleaned a lot of debris off of roofs, and one thing is for sure, if you have oak trees this year, you have as many acorns as you've ever seen in your life.
With so many here in our yard, it has changed the color of my mulch in the yard. no kidding. It really has. Well, you know, I'm thinking, Andy and Luke, too, you both know that we're constantly getting new listeners out of the show, and we appreciate that. But maybe you could explain to us again about this maintenance program. How does it work?
So it's a service that we're offering in addition to everything else that we do, where we're going to come out and do a complete home inspection. When I say complete, we're going to look at your basement. We're going to look at your insulation. We're going to look at your roofing, siding, windows. We're going to talk to you about your homeowner's insurance, what policy you have. We're going to give you a guide to buying homeowner insurance with a list of questions to talk to your agent about to make sure that you have the proper coverage. You're going to know all of the R values of your insulation, all of the things that need to be maintained on the exterior of the home, the caulking, the flashing, the drip cap. You're going to get a comprehensive report on what you need to do to make sure you don't have leaks, or, more importantly, if you have something that is supposed to last 40 or 50 or 60 years, what you need to do to maintain it in order to get that type of lifespan out of it.
Now, if someone is interested, and I know a lot of people are already just hearing this, Can they just call Lindis and have someone come out, that first visit always free, and give them a further explanation about it?
Absolutely. If they want to just schedule a maintenance program, they can call the office and talk to them about it. But all the salespeople, and I believe, Denny, we're in the infant stages of this. It's an ever-changing thing.
Yes.
Where I really think that we're going to end up offering this, the first maintenance program, as a free service to anybody that purchases something from us. So if you buy windows from us, when we do when people don't understand, like when we install a job, I have my own internal quality control people. And these people are longtime Lindis employees that have been wearing tool belts for us for many, many, many years. These are the best of the best craftsmen that are in charge of doing our quality control. And what is tough for people to understand is, like, over 70% of the service orders, cases, as it is in our, called on our computer system, created are self-inflicted, meaning our quality control person has created the case after inspecting the job to make sure it's done. It's not like we still, 98% of our jobs have no cases. But the majority of our cases are cases that we have deemed we need to do ourselves because of our quality control person. And I really think that once we really lock in on what we're accomplishing on every one of these maintenance programs, that our quality control people are also going to be putting together a maintenance program for the customer. And if they want to continue and get that every year, they can. But it's just an extra service that I see a big, big need for. People want to maintain their houses. They want to have the best house in the neighborhood. We just need to give them the direction and the know-how to do it.
I think, Andy and Luke, this has happened before when you were on the road. We're getting some suggestions on where to stop for food. You guys are open to that, right?
Absolutely.
Well, this is an... I know, I'm not sure where you are. I think you're heading to Denver, you said, but this texter says, tell Luke and Andy to stop in Hudson, Colorado by Love's Truck Stop. Ben's Brick Oven Pizza is the best. It's right off the highway. So Hudson,
right.
Colorado, put that in your GPS.
On it.
And we'll get a food report maybe if and you know what, I have a feeling we're going to get other suggestions too as we move through this. This is the Home Improvement Show, but hey, you got to eat, as they say. So don't you guys be careful now. I'm going to take a quick break here, and we'll come right back, and we'll talk about something else that's on your mind here. Andy Lindis and Luke Panic. By the way, you can always call us or text us and ask Andy and Luke any kind of home improvement question you may have. That's what we're doing here every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour. So stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show, brought to us every week by our friends at Lindis Construction. Well, get in touch. 844-9-LINDIS, easiest number to remember. 844-9-LINDUS. Interesting group of guys here this morning. Andy Lindis, Luke Panic on the road. They've literally taken the show on the road. They are in the, out west as we speak right now. Still, of course, taking any kind of a home improvement question you may have on your mind. Andy, and Luke too, what's going? What are people asking for in decks these days? Are they going all out? Because people want that. They want to live outside.
Yes, it's been a popular year for decks for sure. It's been probably the most beautiful August, I would say. My favorite August and September so far for the weather. So that's got people outside. And I'm seeing a lot of people wanting recently gazebos or detached structures on their decks. I've been working on one in Scandia this week, trying to get a outdoor structure for people to have a bug-free area. That's been a popular request. So a lot of stuff going on with decks.
What about porches? You and I, because for those of folks who don't know, we've always introduced Luke Panic as the deck and porch specialist with Lindis Construction. He's indeed that, but he does so much more. What about porches? Are people staying in their homes? They want to expand a little bit, and that's one way to do it. Going for three season, or are they actually saying, hey, four season seems to get more bang for my buck and more use out of it?
Well, it seems like most people want to have a space in their house that's not sheetrock. They want to. They don't want necessarily want another living room. They want a room that they can walk into and feel like they're a little bit more outside, a little bit more outdoors. So that seems to be a lot more common on appointments that I've been going. So we always have that conversation about, do we want to heat and cool this room, or do we want to we want to wear a sweatshirt out here in October. So that's a good, always a discussion, because we need to clarify that before we work on a design. But I would say most people want to have something that feels like they're outside, something different than the space that they have already.
I'm looking at a home improvement question via text. Andy and Luke, do you have any suggestions? This is about a pool surround, a cement, a concrete pool surround. Any suggestions? It's 25-plus years old, the concrete. My pool surround seems to be rougher this year, and I think there's more sand in the bottom of it. Is there some kind of sealer to use on that pool surround that's concrete?
Well, yeah, there's always a sealer for concrete that should be sealed every so often, but I'm not sure. There's some, you know, that polyurea has some outdoor uses, but not as much as you would like the, that's like your garage pour coating. That's the other thing, Denny, too. All of the houses we went to had a polyurea floor. Like these, not only were the best yards, it was some of the best garages I've seen on houses, when I was doing that maintenance program. I don't know, Luke, what do you, is there, besides just your normal concrete sealer, you could, you know, can you do an aggregate top on it with the epoxy too?
Yeah,
to get rid of it?
There are different thin coats you can do on concrete that are liquid and thin that hold up pretty well. It's like a runny slurry that you can resurface concrete with. It's too bad that this particular homeowner has gotten to this location. A lot of times people fail at maintaining concrete. They don't make concrete needs maintenance, especially stamp concrete or any sort of color in it, because the UV breaks down concrete just like it does anything else. And you really got to stay on top of sealing concrete. It takes a lot of abuse, and the thought is, if I pour concrete, I'm done, but that's just not true. We're really hard on concrete with salt and other things, but just the UV light breaks down concrete, so it's a really important to maintain the concrete. It's easy to do, you know, it's just like your deck, Denny. If you stay on top of it and wash it once a year, it's an easy project, but when you let it go, then it gets to a point where you start to get pitting, and you're trying to do a patch job of some sort, and it's never the same, so it's a good reminder that needs to be done.
I'm looking at a text basically after a few sentences here that are kind of moved around. Someone wants to know, is it a do-it-yourself foam insulation, attic and other areas of the homes? Is that doable for a do-it-yourself, or what are the pros and cons of that, they're asking?
If you've used sprayed foam before and are comfortable with it, and you can buy those froth packs. It's a bigger, you know, can of spray foam that can let you do some spot sealing. But if you're going to be putting it down on any large surface, this isn't something you really need to know what you're doing. Could a do-it-yourselfer do it? Yes, but not all do-it-yourselfers should do that. I've seen some people do some pretty disastrous stuff with cans of great stuff, where they don't understand how much it expands, and all of the spray foam is different, and there's a difference between open cell and closed cell. But I've gone into attic spaces before where that spray foam has shrunk so much and cracked, it's creating more damage than what it helped be there. It's created moisture issues and rot issues in there.
You're sitting next to one of the guys that have done that. I've had that problem. And a lot of times what people don't realize also is that there's a very toxic fume that comes from spray foam when you're spraying it. So it's not just buying, a lot of times it's they want to save some money and go buy the froth packs, but you also need to buy a $200 mask to breathe properly while you're using it. It's very dangerous fumes, and a suit to wear. It's a serious product to do a large area. Now, if you're just foaming this spot or this spot that's got a concentrated little area that you're trying to deal with, there are easy fix solutions there, but big surfaces like that, it's a risky project to try and take on for a homeowner.
I agree.
Picture it wearing hazmat suits and, you know, respirators and all this sort of stuff. What about after the fact? I'm thinking as a homeowner that had Lindis do my attic, which was great. What a great idea. What about fumes after? I never thought about that before. Certainly the application while the worker is doing it, but what about after?
After is not a problem. It's the off-gassing. When spray foam is the combination of two chemicals that get mixed at the tip of the gun, and when they combine, they create it creates the foam because it's reacting. And when it's off-gassing, those fumes are the problem. Once it's set and done off-gassing, there's no fumes. It's perfectly safe.
Looking at, let's let it finish here. Okay, what are the best, as far as deck questions go? We talked about the diamond pier things. What are some of the other options that Lindis uses or likes to use as far as building a new deck?
You mean for footings?
For footings, yes.
Yeah, well, we've switched almost completely to helical piers. The helical piers are the best footing you can put in the ground that's going to freeze because you can control the depth, and they never move. We've never had one fail.
Luke, how does that work?
Imagine, I always use the description, because we're in Minnesota and Wisconsin, and we all know ice fishermen, imagine an ice auger. They're going to drill a hole in the ice. It looks like a big ice auger. It's got a screw bottom at the very bottom, and then a long 3-inch steel shaft, and it screws down into the ground like a screw, but it's the size of an ice auger, and ours are actually 50 inches long. So we have a machine that comes in and just drills it right through into the ground, and that steel pipe sticks up out of the ground about 6 inches, and we put a receiving bracket on there called a standoff that connects it to our deck post or 6x6 post. That's what we use. The only drawback to that is that you do have to be able to get the machine, it's called a dingo, it's like a miniature bobcat, and you have to be able to get it in that location. There are times when it's not possible to get the machine there where you have to use a diamond pier or a traditional concrete cylindrical pier, but almost always we're able to put in the helical piers, and they're by far the best.
And they don't move.
In all soil types. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Andy?
I said in all soil types, too. That's one of the nice things.
Oh,
you don't
okay.
have to worry about the movement and sandy, clay, wet, dry. The helical piers seem to work. And it seems like it's a lot more accurate in putting in the pier systems. Always bugs me when I go to these houses and some of these do-it-yourself decks and the post is sitting, you know.
Yeah.
A quarter of the post is off of the concrete pad?
Well, yeah, you're sitting next to a guy who's done that.
Okay.
It's hard to do, and I appreciate it's very difficult. There's a reason that is. It's very, very difficult. If you have a deck that's low on the ground and you can't put the footings in after the fact, you got to put out string lines like a mason and line up that, and then you got to build the deck. It's not easy to get that post to sit perfectly on that cylinder when the deck is low. When it's high, it's great because you can build the deck, and then you can plumb it down, and you can put that pier exactly where you want it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier. But it's a difficult thing. So I give some grace to guys where I see the post isn't perfectly centered because I know how hard that is. But it is frustrating. And nice thing about the helical piers, Andy, I don't know if you know this, but the top of that footing, that bracket that we use, has a lot of movement on it. So you can position that bracket at the top. It has quite a bit of play in it. So it makes it a little bit easier to get that post perfectly plumb where you want it to be. So, and that's another reason we use it.
All right. Hang on, Andy and Luke. We're going to take a break for that forecast. And when we come back, we're going to find out exactly where Andy and Luke Panic are. They're on the road. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, love to hear from you, either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. Weather is straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show, brought to us by Lindis Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. Andy Lindis, a little different show today. Andy Lindis and our friend Luke Panic are together again, not for the first time, but they're on the road. And for those just joining us, our listeners, Andy and Luke, where are you located, roughly?
We're almost in Denver right now, right just outside of Fort Morgan, pulled over here at the Roadway Inn to do the radio show. We're on our way to Utah to chased some elk around the mountains for the week. Pretty excited. I got Luke, my brother Alex, and somebody you've heard me reference on the radio show a couple of times when people from St. Cloud are looking for a really good contractor, Sean Luckin from Luckin Companies.
Uh-huh.
So pretty excited that, we like each other enough to work with each other and go on a little vacation with each other.
Well, that's great to hear. And what's the weather like now where you are, and what have you heard when you get to Utah?
Right now it's a beautiful 63 degrees where we are in camp. Camp's above 7,000 foot. It should be in the 50 to 70 degree range most days. So lows in the upper 40s, low 50s. Highs in the low 70s, upper 60s.
I always like to ask Andy, Luke, you as well, what kind of deals can be had at Linda's? This is the month of September today, the 13th, to be exact. What kind of deals can be had on various products?
Well, right now we have 75% off of labor on the installation of leaf guard gutters, Infinity Windows by Marvin, and GAF asphalt roofing, which, again, when it comes to the roofing, it's amazing the amount of gutter projects and roofing projects that have come through the door this week. I had a manager's meeting at the office Thursday morning, and I believe we've processed over somewhere between 50 and 60 roofing and gutter jobs this week. So it's been a very busy week. I'm sure the state fair had a lot to do with that. And if anybody's like me and a lot of people, the leaves are coming down, the acorns are coming down, things are clogged, and it's people that have had to bust out the ladder have started to call us and move along on their projects.
I can't imagine folks that don't have leaf guard gutters, because the oak trees around my house, like you're talking about, every so often, every few years, they do this, these massive amounts of acorns that fall. I can't imagine somebody who has an open gutter system. Those things got to be packed.
Yeah. So between the oak trees, maple trees, and there's been we've had a bunch of wind this year, too. So, part of the maintenance program, we get it and we clean all of the debris off of people's roofs for them. And every single roof we went on had branches on it. So every house that we did the maintenance program on Wednesday had some type of branches that needed to be removed from the roof. And what people need to understand is those branches catch debris on the roof. And then you're creating a dam that stays wet on the roof, and it's going to eat. What was happening on the one roof is moss was growing. This is a 12-year-old asphalt shingle. And where this stuff was getting caught in the valleys, above that, moss was growing on the roofs. And if you don't, again, when you don't take care of the moss, that moss is eventually going to take what should be a roof that lasts 50 years, make it only last in that 12 to 20-year range. And that's what we told them. This needs to be maintained. We removed the moss, but it's going to be something. If you have oak trees, those types of houses seem to be the most susceptible to mold, mildew, and moss growing on the roofing, because of all the shade and the amount of stuff that the oak trees drop year-round. A couple of that, it seems like they hold on to their leaves until January, February, so they drop them on the snow, and then they start to break down, and next thing you know, like what Luke was telling his customer a couple of days ago, you put this deflector on, 2 years from now you're going to have a pocket full of garden soil up there.
That's right. I don't know if you guys, being in the business, the home business, as you're driving around, especially in another part of the country, what kind of roofing do you see out there out west? What the majority, is it metal? Is it asphalt or big mix like here? But what do you see out there?
It's a very similar mix. One thing that I noticed, again, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination, but I've seen some structures that are really, really old, with roofs that are 50, 60, 70 years old. Some of them asphalt shingles, and none of them have blown off. They have these old, like, T-lock shingles on these old structures that have just lasted forever. And you start to understand when you get around in these old mining villages and stuff like that, and you're seeing some of these structures that have lasted 100 to 150 years, whatever the case may be. And you understand where people have the idea that they can't build things as good as we used to, because a lot of the materials that we're putting on, really, again, what were we just talking about? Roofs that last 10 years old or half the insurance companies. Luke just got a notice from his insurance company. He's losing part of his hail and wind damage because his roof is, was it 10 years old or 12 years old?
11
years old.
Really?
So, you know, and meanwhile, you can go by these structures that are over 100 years old and still have a roof on them that was originally installed. So we can source materials. A lot of it is installation techniques. If you ever do any research on a fortified installation on roofing, there's a lot that goes into it that really ups the wind damage. And there's just as much wind damage across the country as it is hail. And I know the roofers in this area of the world out west, North Dakota especially, because it just seems like a small wind in North Dakota is 30 miles an hour. The roofers I know down there are more worried about wind damage than hail.
Okay.
I expect that when we get in the mountains, we're going to see some more metal roofs, huh?
I would assume so. With the heavy snow load areas, it seems like the metal roofs are more and more of a choice. So as we get into, as we cross Denver into the Vail and that area, you're going to start to see a lot more metal roofing because of snow load areas. And similar to what you've done with your Airbnbs and VRBOs, like on Lake Vermilion, like that,
yep.
You know, having the metal roof is something you don't have to worry about with ice dams and stuff like that. Now you can have an avalanche happen,
and
cover up your driveway, but you don't have to worry about snow loads.
Yep.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys about the latest, what type of asphalt shingle from GAF, but we have a food update from that listener who is evidently in the area there where you guys are. All right, here's the update. You have 44 miles to Hudson from Fort Morgan. Ben's opens at 9 a.m. I was there on Tuesday. I recommend the Philly cheesesteak pizza. It only takes 10 minutes. Text just came in, so there you go.
We're 42 minutes. I just put it in the map. We're 42 minutes from being at that restaurant.
We will put a review of Ben's on our social media page by midday today. I will let you know that.
And if it was legal, you should get comped for lunch or breakfast. I guess it'd be breakfast because it's – what time is it there? Are you like at 8:41?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let's get back to roofing a little bit. As far as GAF shingles, what are the latest? Because, you know, I've got those great shingles on my house for years. They're just to this day. I mean, I love the look of them, and they're just so solid. What is, and I love GAF anyway, the company itself, but what kind of shingles do they offer these days?
Well, there's a variety of shingles and styles you can get from GAF. Our customers, for the most part, are getting Grand Sequoia impact-resistant shingles and Armor Shield impact-resistant shingles, the what I believe are the best two Class 4 shingles on the planet right now. But where we were yesterday, where we met Luke and started driving each other in Oakdale yesterday, that neighborhood has a bunch of our customers in it. We were sitting in the driveway where I was picking Luke up, looking across the street. And across the street's the same roof that you have installed on your house, Denny, same color even, Glenwood's, still the best-looking roof ever designed. But they all have leaf guard. Every one of those houses in that neighborhood, what I'm excited is bring on the hail, because none of them will get damaged from hail. That's what our MO is. We're going to install a roof, and if GAF is going to put a 50-year warranty on it, we're going to install it in a manner in which it's going to last 50 years, and we're going to choose materials that are going to have the best chance of withstanding Mother Nature over that course of time, so people do never have to make another insurance claim. If my customers never get storm damage again, I'll be a happy camper.
This one's for Luke. A listener sent a text. They love the idea of a wood deck and don't mind the maintenance. What are my options? What are we talking about? What kind of wood would you recommend, Luke, for that listener?
Well, you've got two options, really. There's either cedar or what we use is called kiln-dried treated pine. and we don't do a lot of them because there's not that many people that say what that customer just said, that they don't mind the maintenance.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the fact that there are people that like that and enjoy that. And if you don't have a wood railing, maintaining the floor isn't that bad. It's just a ritual that needs to happen every year. It needs to be kept clean. In fact, I cleaned my deck up on Lake Vermilion last weekend. I sanded it and I refinished it, and it was treated wood. And I used the deck cleaner. I just went to Menards and bought a Pittsburgh paint deck cleaner, and it is amazing. When you spray that stuff on the deck, it immediately cleans it. I'm talking no scrubbing, no nothing. It cleaned up that deck just beautiful, and now it's ready for a fresh coat of stain. So cedar is nice. It's the more pristine wood. It moves less. There's less shrinking and cracking with it. It's a more delicate wood, of course. It's a softer wood, and if you don't mind the work of maintaining it, it's good. The treated wood is more resilient, more durable, doesn't require the maintenance to preserve it. It's not going to rot or decay whether you preserve it or not. But the downside to the treated decks is that there's more movement. There's more expansion. The deck boards will swell and contract more. They'll crack and they'll split more and want to move because of all the moisture that was put into them when they were treated and then they're dried out. So you want the durability or the attractiveness of the cedar. Those are really the choices that you have.
Yeah, it's all a trade-off.
Anybody ever ask you about Ipe anymore?
Ipe? Yeah, the South American walnut. Ipe, I've quoted it once or twice. That's a great wood. Boy, it's a gorgeous. For people who don't know what Ipe is, it looks like a rich walnut color. And it is a beautiful wood, and I haven't done one in a couple of years, but yeah, we can still get Ipe. It's really, really hard. It's really tough. It still needs the same maintenance because the UV light will turn that deck gray. So to keep it from turning gray, you got to stay on top of it. But it's a cool wood for sure.
Ipe, I was going to ask you about that.
I have a buddy of mine in Florida, got a bunch of Ipe, and what he likes to do, he makes coasters out of them.
Yeah.
And he goes to people's parties, like he gets the neighbor, invites him over to the party, and he makes bets with them whether or not this wood coaster will float. Throws it in the pool, and because the Ipe is so dense and so hard, it sinks.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought that, so he's won a few $20 bets before he's had to do that.
Go, go through a boat out of it, Denny.
You probably go through a few saws, blades with that type of wood too, I would think.
Oh yeah, very, very hard.
All right, hang on, you guys. We're going to be back. Luke and Andy are on the road in Colorado as we speak. We're going to have more questions that get answered here in our Home Improvement Show. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. Andy Lindis and Luke Panic are together on the road somewhere in Colorado, heading to Ben's restaurant or truck stop to get some pizza. What kind of pizza? Philly cheesesteak pizza is what's recommended. We have the remaining minutes. And Luke, I just saw you sent me a picture. What is this picture that you sent me? Is it your deck?
Yes, that's that deck up on Lake Vermilion I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. Wow. There's a contrast.
Isn't that crazy? That's literally 5 minutes after I sprayed that deck cleaner on there. That's what it looked like. I hadn't scrubbed it. I hadn't done anything. But that tells you that what is on that deck is a mildew or a mold, because it's kind of black colored. And look at how that deck got revived by that deck cleaner.
Without scrubbing. Wow.
Nothing.
Amazing.
Nothing.
All right. And that you found that at Menards, you said, eh?
Yep. Okay. Pittsburgh deck cleaner.
Deck cleaner. Great. I know our time is limited here. We got a few minutes to go here, but I'm looking at an interesting text from a listener that says, are there any issues with replacing an asphalt roof with a metal roof regarding the weight of metal compared to asphalt? The house is built in 2004. I was told by a roofing contractor in Florida that he thought maybe my house would not support a metal roof. What do you think in that scenario?
Metal's going to be lighter than the asphalt.
And really?
As far as weight goes, yeah.
quite a bit later.
Quite a bit later. And, like, Denny, what you have on your house is literally the heaviest per square foot roofing material that I've ever worked with. And you will still be, as far as, I forget what the, there is a part of code on how we build houses, how much the actual weight the roof can support. And it's cold that way in Minnesota to deal with the snow loads that we may or may not get depending on the snow season. And but you are, even know that you have the heaviest roofing material on the, that we could possibly source to put on your roof, you would still meet and exceed all code requirements and worry about snow load. I wouldn't worry about rafters breaking or anything. And a metal roof, like compared to like an asphalt roof, I want to say would be about half of the weight. Where you could conceivably install a metal roof over the top of most asphalt roofs and still be under the weight limits on that roof structure or roof design. Now, that wouldn't be a good idea. I'm not suggesting doing that ever. Like we always use the analogy, you wouldn't paint a rusty car, would you?
No.
You know, let's get down to the bare metal and really make sure that this is a paint job that lasts a long time. Same thing with home improvements. Never cover up a bad home improvement with a new home improvement. You want to get down to the structure if your goal is to make it last and not just for aesthetic reasons.
Well, this question, this advice, whatever you want to call it, was coming from a roofing contractor in Florida. Do building codes differ from there to here as far as weight, ability to handle weight?
Yeah, it's going to differ across the country based on snow loads, on what you have to do in the framing process of the truss system. And when you come to Florida, a lot of it's going to be different wind requirements and underlayment requirements. You know, we have a couple of clients that use our contractor software in Florida, and one of the things that we had to design for them was the permitting process. So one of the biggest differences that I've seen roofing in Florida compared to Minnesota is, when you tear off the roof and put the underlayment on, you have to have a physical inspection done. You have to be able to schedule that and get an inspector out there. So your logistics and scheduling needs to be spot on in order to make that happen, because it can hold the job up with just underlayment on. And then when you look at the underlayment rules, and that's where fortified roofing came from, Florida. And fortified means that, like, the underlayment should be able to be installed in a way that it withstands wind and wind-driven rain specifically. So if it has to sit there for a couple of days or the roofing gets blown off during a hurricane, it's not going to leak into the structure.
All right. If you're just joining us, Andy Lindis and Luke Panic are on the road they're on vacation. They're heading out west. They're in Colorado as we speak. And I'm trying to see if we have time for another. Okay. The listener doesn't say when they want it, but Luke, they're interested in getting a hold of Lindis to come out. They want a new deck. What is their situation here? I mean, we're getting kind of late in the season. I'm not sure what your crews are working on right now, but what would you tell this listener?
Well, Andy, we were at lead times. You were hoping, what were we at now?
Hats off to my entire decking department. They've all made a concerted effort to add, like 8 more hours a week on job sites. So we've unlimited overtime with our decking crew, where I think we can take on a few more yet this year to install. I want to say we're about 8 weeks out on install, but I have a feeling the amount of estimates that Luke, Charlie, Dave, Jordan, Chris, the entire team has out in customers' hands that are going to be coming through the door in the next couple of weeks, probably going to book up the remainder of the fall. But there's still an opportunity. And if you want to enjoy your deck and outdoor living space next year, I think right now is the best time that we've had in a long time to buy home improvements. One, we've had no price increases this year, and we've actually had some material price decreases, and we've already adjusted our price book to reflect that, which is, I haven't been able to say that since like 2019. And with us, like say somebody meets with Luke tomorrow and signs up for a deck to be installed in May, whatever happens to the pricing between now and May isn't going to affect your estimate. So the cheapest time to buy home improvements typically is today. It always gets more expensive a month from now.
Absolutely, and I'll give the phone number, and keep in mind that whatever project you have in mind, it could be decking, it could be windows, roofing, we're talking roofing today, whatever your project is, you call Linda's, they'll come out. That first visit is always free, and you'll get a ton of information from Linda's about that particular project. Guys, we are plumb out of time, and I wish you a safe trip. It's been kind of fun here, really different having having our show on the road, at least where you're concerned. But you guys be safe, continued safe driving, and safe whatever you guys doing in the state of Utah. You be careful out there, will you?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Denny. Pleasure. And sorry, you know, a couple of roofers here couldn't quite figure out time zones.
Well, that's all right. It all worked out. It all worked out. It was kind of fun.
Sir.
So. You give us a food report on that Benz, will you?
Yep. Soon we got about 50 miles of going before we get to eat good.
All right. Bon appetit. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Luke.
Thank you.
Fun
Bye-bye.
Show with you today. Bye-bye. 844-9-LINDIS. Yeah, give him a call if you have a project in mind. In the meantime, Denny Long, thanking you for your company. I thank you, Ryan Perpich, for producing this show. And a reminder that tomorrow morning, I'll be filling in one more time for Susie Jones. She's on vacation. We're going to have Dr. David Hilden back on an important show. Open line show tomorrow. So hope you join us at 7 a.m. tomorrow. News Talk 830 WCCO.